This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you very much, David Jenkins, and welcome to Sports Saturday here on this 10th day of April. It's a rainy one across mid-Illinois. Hopefully the Cards can get that ball game in today with the Brewers. We'll have pregame coverage getting underway at 12:20 this afternoon on WSMI AM 1540, FM 106.9 and 92.9. So it's going to be a wet day for the sporting events that are scheduled for today. In terms of football slated for today, Hillsboro at Breeze Modern Day at 1 o'clock. Nokomis will be at Madison also at 1 o'clock today. Eight-man football will have Pawnee hosting South Fork at 2 o'clock today. In terms of soccer action scheduled today, Carletonville at Rochester, Williamsville at North Mac, both those games at 11, and volleyball, Gillespie at Lincoln with the JV game just got underway at 9 o'clock this morning, and Nokomis will be at South County today with Hillsboro hosting Beardstown. Happy to be joined on the phone right now by Mr. Don Borgini. And Don, good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm fine, Tim. How are you? Beautiful day for baseball.
Beautiful day for baseball. And Don, you've been around coaching basically your entire life. Have you ever had a baseball practice on a Wednesday and then coached a football game on a Friday?
No, I have not. It's been very interesting, that's for sure.
And, I mean, just talk about time management from a kid's perspective here when you've got multiple sports going on at the same time.
Well, you got to be really careful with that. I know from a baseball standpoint now we're practicing football from 3 to 5:30 and then they get a few minutes off and then we start baseball practice at 6 to 7:15, but we're doing that four nights a week only, so trying to work those days around, and you know, one of those days is Sunday night, so we don't have football practice before that, so that kind of works out pretty good. So we're trying our best to get four baseball days in throughout the week.
And how many kids, give or take, do you have that are on the football team that will also be on the baseball team?
Well, we have 24 baseball players, and seven of them do not play football.
So wow.
What is that, 17?
Yep.
Are playing football, so they're tired, you know. And the thing is, Tim, some of them have done this already coming off the basketball floor, a lot of them. So they've had to double up for about 3 weeks there, basketball and football. And then, you know, we only had football for 3 weeks without any other sport being played, and now we're back into spring sports with it. So some of our kids are finishing up with football practice and going to track practice and going to baseball practice. So you cannot tip your cap enough to these kids and families for what they've done. And, you know, to me at this point with all the mitigations, the school kids are the ones that are affected the most throughout this thing. So they've really done a heck of a job.
One of the great things about being a teenager is you really have endless amounts of energy, and boy, have they needed that here these last few months. Have you been able to sense if they're, you know, if they're getting tired or worn down? As you mentioned, basketball to football, right into baseball. That's a lot.
I do, Tim. I see it. In fact, I said something to Chad, Coach Easterday, there the other day. I said, some of these kids just kind of, when they get to me at 6 o'clock by near the end of practice, you can just tell that their legs are gone. You know, the school's kind of tough this time of year. You know, there's a lot going on. The teachers are really pouring it on in the classrooms, and then they've got, you know, double duty with sports, and some of them are still trying to work. And I guess, you know, from a positive standpoint, teaching kids to multitask and be able to work through it isn't really much different than being a mom or a dad in a family, is it? You know, you're really trying to work through those things. So I guess, you know, if there's a silver lining at the end of all this, it will teach those kids that.
And, you know, I always think, you know, life's not fair, and sometimes it just downright sucks. And that's kind of been the case here, certainly for the last year. But for these kids to have to make these types of decisions about where am I going to play? Am I going to play this sport? Am I going to play that sport? They're hard decisions, but always talk about sports being another classroom. They're getting some life prep with this.
Yeah, they really are, you know. And I was talking to Chad earlier this morning when we were going back over the video. And I came home last night and I told my wife, I said, when I talk to the kids during a football game or anything right now, the month of the year doesn't seem to matter. I mean, here we are in the middle of April last night, and we're it's an intense game, and we're talking strategy in the middle of the game with the players. And it, I told Chad, I said, it, those kids didn't realize whether it was the middle of October or middle of April. They were attacking Southwestern and getting ready to go. And, you know, sometimes I think we think into this too far. I mean, those guys are just playing hard and ready to go. And, you know, from the from outside of the fatigue standpoint, I think everything's pretty good for them.
Yeah, just roll the ball out and let the kids play. I guess sometimes that's not a bad way to go.
I always said just stay out of the way.
Now, we're going to talk about Conville baseball in a moment, but I want to hit on football for just a quick moment here. Obviously, you and Chad East today have a great relationship. What is it about Chad that just makes him such a dynamite coach?
Well, I would say the number one thing that he's full of energy. Mm-hmm. And he works very hard, and he doesn't just work hard during the season. It's a 12 months of the year job for Chad, and he approaches it the right way. And you know, there's a tremendous tradition at Carmel that we've all tried to uphold in regards to football, and he's just done an awesome job with it. He's a great teacher, loves the kids, and you know, he's a good stern disciplinarian on top of it, and I think he's kind of put all those things together, and you got a great coach and a great program, and we're all very fortunate to have that here.
And the Cronville baseball program has been on the up here. Talk a little bit about what the expectations are for this year. It's going to be a lot more than wins and losses this year.
It is, you know, and I tell you, the hard part, like I was going back through some of my old stat sheets, you know, and the last time we played, of course, was 19. And so a lot of the players we played against are no longer there. So they were on the JV teams at that time. So I don't really have any stats on that. I have a few kids, you know. So from a preparation standpoint of, you know, like getting prepared with pitching staff or things like that, as much as we would do on the high school level, but we still try to do it, it's just, it's difficult because we haven't played for 2 years. So, and, you know, you see some kids' skill level is suffered, I think, a little bit from that they haven't done much, you know, for 2 years, and rightfully so because they've had other sports or they haven't been able to. We've been locked out of doing it, et cetera. So, but I like our team. We're a little bit young in some areas, but we have a lot of baseball talent. So I think things are going to look pretty good here for a while.
Did you have, like, a number of your kids, were they able to play some travel ball last summer? Because, man, baseball, if you don't see live pitching for almost 2 years, I don't know how you catch up.
Yeah, I know, Tim. I think we're going to see a lot of strikeouts. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. And we'll probably see a lot of walks on top of it, too, just because the pitchers haven't been able to do much, you know. But, yeah, we had probably 3-4 kids that were on some traveling teams, but you know, that's not always an easy thing to get involved in either. You know, number one, it costs money. Number two, you got to have time to travel to Missouri and all these places that you were able to do it last year. So I'm not going to say that we had a bunch of kids because we certainly did not. So, you know, they haven't picked up a bat and ball on that from a competitive standpoint. And, you know, really we had 4 practices last spring before we got shut down. So we had Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then in the middle of the Friday practice, we were done. So that's where we left off.
And I guess the one good thing, talking with Don Borgini here, the Cronville baseball coach, everybody's in the same boat.
Well, sure they are. They all are. And, you know, just talking to some area baseball coaches in the last couple of days, Coach Hanslow and that, Coach Smith, Don Gillespie, and, you know, they're all working through the same things. And, you know, they're doing the right things for their players. They're working through, you know, them coming off the football field or the soccer field and, you know, trying to do the best they can with them when they get to baseball or track practice. You know, you can't have 2 hard practices in a row. They can't come from a hard practice in football or soccer and then be thrust right into another difficult 2-hour practice. So just kind of a couple things I picked up from those guys that I think they're just kind of cutting that down for those multi-sport athletes once they get to baseball or track.
Don, I can't let you go without talking about the turf field. I have seen it, I think, 3 times in person. It is phenomenal. And I know there were hundreds of people, maybe even more, that were involved in this project. But when I talk to somebody, one name comes up more than the others, and it's yours, sir, about all the work and time and effort you put in to that field. So the sense of pride you have when you stand there and look at that beautiful turf field.
Well, like you said, it's all about a lot of kids being able to be on it, and it's just what we're seeing every day. You know, I hang out at McDonald's in the morning. You can see kids starting on that thing about 8 o'clock in the morning, and there's kids on it all day long in PE class and after-school events, and, you know, that's what it's all about, so they can get out there and enjoy themselves, have a nice, safe, dry surface all the time, and something to be proud of. So, you know, I think it's going to be a good thing in the long run here, and a lot of kids are going to benefit from it, so that's great.
Well, I knew it was going to be nice, but I didn't know that it was going to be quite that nice. I mean, that thing is slick and sharp.
Well, you know, the builders, people like Les Hayes and that did all the hard stuff, getting it prepared, those guys are the ones that really, really did the job. And there's, like I said, you mentioned 100 people, easily 100 people, and not to mention all of those who contributed financially to the project to really make it happen. So, I mean, we would need a long hour here to cover everybody, Kim, and I'm just so proud to say that I'm a member of the Carmel community after you know, so many people contributed to a great project for our youth like that.
Fantastic. Don Borgini, Carmelville baseball coach, assistant football coach, thank you so much for some of your time this morning, sir, and I look forward to seeing the Cavs on the baseball field sometime in the near future.
Okay, Tim. Thanks, buddy. Have a good day.
You too. Don Borgini, one of the greats. And, David, you start talking about athletes. Because, I mean, you know, for people my age and younger, Don Borgini is just an elite coach. But before he was an elite coach, he was an elite athlete. Every sport he played, he was top notch. And when you start talking about, you know, like the greatest athletes from the area, Don Borgini is on that short list.
On the Mount Rushmore?
Probably so.
Yeah, I would say so, yeah. Yeah. And we've had great athletes from this area who also became great coaches. Of course, his mentor, Don DeBrino, would probably be another one of those.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, he's such a great sports guy to be around. I don't know what other better term, because he was a great athlete, but he's also a great coach and knows what he's talking about, and it doesn't matter what sport it is. So just a great sports guy to be around.
I really think he's one of those guys. He'll beat you with his guys, then he'll take your guys and beat his guys. I just think he's that type of dude to where he has an ability, and he's always had this, to relate to the kids, you know, through generations. That is a hard thing for coaches to do sometimes, is to adapt their philosophy, adapt their style with the times. You know, some coaches get rigid, like, no, I've been real successful doing it this way. This is how we're going to do it. But you don't stick, as long as Don Borgini has stuck across the spectrum, multiple sports, without adjusting to your personnel and adjusting to the kids as years move along. So, Don Borgini, one of the greats, and we're happy to have him here this morning on Sports Saturday. We need to get to a break here. When we come back, we're going to catch up with Southwestern football coach Pat Keith. The Pius Allbirds lost last night in Carletonville, but Southwestern off to a 3-1 start. We'll talk with head coach Pat Keith when Sports Saturday rolls on.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
David, thank you very much. Let's run down some of the action from last night across the area in the South Central Conference. Games heard on WSMI FM 106. Carletonville beat Southwestern 39-13. Going to have Pius Allbirds coach Pat Keith with us here in just one moment. Gillespie, 42 unanswered points last night. They were down 22-0 at Greenville. Stormed back and win it 42-28. We'll catch up with Gillespie head coach Jacob Bilbrook a little bit later in the hour here on Sports Saturday. Elsewhere in the South Central last night, Roxana beat Staunton 28-6. Vandalia over Pena 24-13. So I believe there are no undefeated teams left in the South Central Conference after last night. So Southwestern off to that 3-0 start entering last night. They had a win over Porta, nice win over Gillespie, beat Vandalia, went into Carletonville last night and fell 39-13. Happy to be joined right now by Pius Allbirds head coach Pat Keith. And coach, good morning, sir. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Hey, we're fantastic. And yeah, you took the loss last night, but man, what a great start for the Pius Allbirds, winning three of your first four.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, I'm really proud of our kids and the work and talent for them the season so far. And we're happy, obviously, to get 3 wins in the beginning. And it's tough one last night at Carlinville, and it was really this week to trail back to work and trail back on track.
I would sure think that you have the community talking with that 3-0 start now.
Yeah, I mean, I think our kids, like I said, you know, it's tough with our kids and believing in what we're doing and kind of buying in and working hard and trying to execute and follow some little things in the community. Obviously, you know, up here in Southwestern, the community is solid as always and always back in the high school program. So it's been a little exciting. And like I said, last night was a big game for us and didn't go our way. But like I said, back to drawing board and see if we can do some things to get better and keep improving as the season goes on here.
Talk a little bit about the process. Obviously, you came back home to Southwestern. We know, obviously, the fall, that was all jacked up. So as you've been slowly getting your program installed here at Southwestern, just talk a little bit about some of the progress from year one to this year.
Yeah, I think just obviously the change in the coaching staff is a big transition when you come to a new school, and this is our 3rd year here, and we had some nice additions to the coaching staff, the teachers in the building, with Coach Starr, Coach Haslin, Coach Jeff Holder, we coming on staff after the year, the previous coach in Southwestern, Hall of Fame coach, that definitely helps with the coaching staff, and I think just, you know, the expectation of what we're trying to accomplish and kind of things basically the expectations of the kids and accountability and all kind of things. And I think it's been a good process. And we have good kids here, you know, just kind of getting the right things in the right direction. And I feel like we're headed that way now, at least a little bit that way.
And, you know, for lack of a better term, the lack of Southwestern football success has always kind of perplexed me, because there are just great multi-sport athletes at Southwestern. So as you were looking at this group coming into the year, I suspect you're not surprised by what you've seen.
So I think we have a solid group of seniors, number one. And then, yeah, I think some of our classes, our sophomore, freshman, junior classes, we have a lot of guys that are in the high school of sports in the Central Illinois area, these are conference. We got a lot more guys that are, I mean, three-sport guys that you have to be even successful or to actually have a program. So our kids are working hard in the weight room, you know, with the program, doing a lot of things on their own individually, you know, getting training, those sort of things. And I think, you know, I think it's what high school sports, you know, about, the, you know, playing three sports and being part of the school athletic program and trying to be successful and just creating some community pride and school pride and that type of thing.
Talk to me about your senior group. You know, they're in the same boat as all the other seniors across the state. Not how they dreamed about their senior football year, of course, but what has been their approach? How have they taken it?
I think, one, obviously, I think, being the coach, and obviously, it's the key. I think, obviously, they're pushing for a good opportunity to have a season, you know, because a lot of things, like last year, were the spring sports to have a season. So the opportunity to have a season has been a great thing. The approach is probably a little different, obviously, knowing that, you know, there's no playoffs, there's no postseason, there's nothing like that. But I think our kids here are just trying to get the most out of this 6-game season and enjoy their last time playing high school football. So, you know, obviously, they go on to try to play after high school, but I think our kids are trying to enjoy the experience and kind of help create, like you asked earlier, but kind of help create a little bit of a stair-step process for us to keep trying to improve the program and be able to fix things year in and year out in the South Central Conference.
There's so many things that are just different and odd about this spring football season. But, you know, the South Central Conference, of course, a closed conference. So if you play a non-conference opponent, it means you made the playoffs. Not this year. You started with Porta. Did it feel weird? Obviously, you're playing in the spring, but to have a non-conference game.
I mean, obviously, we're going to do it for 2 years here, because obviously next year Rockford will drop out of conference a year early. So we'll have about an opportunity next year to play. We're going to have a game next year, probably week two. But, yeah, it was different. But I think it's a great experience also, because for us at Southwestern currently, it's been a while since we've been in the playoffs. And so it was kind of an opportunity to kind of show the kids what it feels like to play on Saturday afternoon. Obviously, some of the classes that wasn't your accomplishment. I mean, because obviously with our conference being closed, unless you're making the playoffs, you're not playing anybody outside your conference. And sometimes even when it is closed, you still play as good of a team in the first year around the playoffs despite region or park community. But it was an experience quite my different, and it was tough because you had to find, just like anybody else, you had to find somebody that's on that spot. But hopefully, you know, this year we still have I think we're gonna come back and play vice versa, because we want everybody in our company to look at the programs that each have. So hopefully next year we'll be in that situation to be able to play within the conference again.
And I don't really know what the bus riding protocols are per se, but I bet that was a pretty excitable bus trip home from Petersburg.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, a long ride, one a little bit, but two, yeah, just obviously anytime you get a season opening victory and play well and get a shutout, that was a couple of things that we were excited about. But, you know, our focus now is to try to get back on track here a little bit, take care of some little thing mistakes made last night and get ready for some blocks in the next week and improve.
Will you be able to trick yourself and your team to say, oh, next week at Roxana, that's just another game?
Yeah, I think, yeah, I mean, I think it, you know, I really firmly believe this. I think week in and week out in our conference, in this year, I think more than normal, I think there's a lot of parity, a lot of, you know, just good football and teams are kind of, you know, it's a battle every week. I think, you know, you never know who's going to get who each week this season. And so I would think Roxana, obviously, probably their senior night being one of the second to last games of the year, and for us, an opportunity to go on the road to get a win and kind of keep our program headed in the right direction. So there's always kind of something each week to week, but if there's some more this week, it's the fact we want to get back on track and kind of finish the season out on a high note.
Pat, really, this is the first year that I can recall, certainly in recent memory with the South Central Conference, where there's not just one or two teams that are just kind of above everybody else. There is a bunch of really good football teams in the league this year.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, I was kind of reflecting back, you know, since I've been in the conference here with Roxana. I was going to coach last night for a while, too, but it's been a while since, you know, only a few teams are undefeated going into the last week of the season. But I don't want to say like maybe 2012, 13, something like that. You know, there was at one point, I think there was nobody left that was undefeated in the conference. So, yeah, definitely, we're loaded right now with quality high school programs. And no matter what season it is, it's a good high school 3A, 4A football conference.
Absolutely. Pat Keith, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, and best of luck next week at Roxana.
I appreciate you calling. Thanks a lot.
All right, that's Pat Keith, the head coach of the Southwestern Piesaw Birds, off to a 3-1 start. Lost last night at Carlinville, but again, 3-1 for Southwestern here in the spring football season. Let's get some other scores. We're going to catch up and talk some girls soccer with Litchfield coach Dominique Byatt here in just a moment. In the Sangamo Conference last night, Monroe Forsyth beat North Mac 56-44. Williamsville topped Auburn 65-12. Pleasant Plains over Riverton 49-6. Pittsfield beat New Berlin 39-36. And Athens over Porta 47-7. In the Central State 8, the Leonard Bowl, SHG beat Rochester 52-33. Glenwood over MacArthur 35-7. Lanphier beat Normal U High 33-20. Springfield High top Southeast 54-14. And in non-conference play, it was Jacksonville beating Morton 40-34. So we got football going on. We've got volleyball going on. We've got boys soccer going on. And this past week, we saw track and field practice get underway, boys tennis practice get underway, baseball and softball practice got underway, and girls soccer practice got underway finally this week as well. Happy to have on the phone right now Litchfield girls soccer coach Dominique Byatt with us. And good morning, Dominique. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you today?
Hey, fantastic. And not exactly the ideal soccer day today.
No, it's not. I think the girls are a little excited, but I did cancel practice this morning, and I'm like, yeah, we may as well just take a break.
And obviously, Dominique, when the season got canceled last year, just devastation across the board. But as you were kind of, I was assuming, contact with the kids throughout the whole pandemic and just trying to stay as connected as you could, what has been their approach? What's been the mentality?
You know, it was really depressing. We were very disappointed last season, and at least we knew that there was still hope for the following season. We pretty much just kept our hopes high. I'll never forget that phone call that I got last season when they pretty much told us, hey, we have to put a stop right now. I just knew. I knew that things were not going to go well for the last season, and I told the girls, I said, you know, we got to keep our heads high, and next season we're going to get back at it. We're going to come back stronger than ever, and they have been awesome so far. We started week one of practice this past week, and everybody's just mentality is so high. They're so happy and excited, and it just makes me feel good that, you know, we're coming back stronger, and I hope for a great season, so.
And I'm trying to, you know, time gets so confusing when you lose a whole year. But I guess the last game you played would have been the sectional at Litchfield, correct?
Yep, that is correct. It's crazy to think that. It feels like it was just yesterday, but, you know, it's last year not having a season. It's just so weird for us. Yeah. It doesn't feel right. It feels completely just wrong. So,
and, yeah. You know, the boys' soccer, they're kind of finding out this year what girls' soccer has known all along. The springtime can be a little dicey with the weather.
You know, I really, we haven't minded the nice weather we've gotten because usually we'll start off where the boys' soccer started off. And, you know, it's super cold. We're bundled up or we have to hopefully get an open gym inside the school. And we're kind of blessed this year. It's been a little bit nice to be out there and the weather's super warm and, you know, we're all ready to go. I think we had one cold day this week and that was it. So.
Talk to me about the makeup of your roster. How many seniors do you have?
Okay, so I think I have six or seven. Gosh, I have so many girls this year. I have 23 girls.
Wow.
That's the most we've had since I started. I had eight freshmen that are now seniors, and I think I've got seven right now, seniors. And it's just, I have too many to count. I look at them and I'm like, okay, wait, I know your name, you know, trying to keep the girls because they're all, I have, you know, I had two Jordans. I have like three Carlys this year and it's one of those things. I'm like, oh my goodness, trying to keep them all straight. But you know, those freshmen back 4 years ago when I started as the head coach are now my seniors. Mm. They were my first girls that I've had for the full 4 years. And I'm so glad that ISSA is giving us this season because this group of girls is the best group of girls I have had. And it just makes me feel so good and so excited. So,
you know,
we'll see.
And when you've got 23 kids, that's a big number. But man, I would think that really helps you out in practice.
It does. You know, they can scrimmage each other and I can split them up equally. And it just makes me feel a little better. You know, we're not shorthanded. You know, it is pretty disappointing right now. Our senior, Becky Painter, she's in volleyball. Mm. And she can't start practicing with us until the 22nd, I believe it is, because that's when volleyball ends. And that's the biggest struggle. And I got Audrey Fisher, too. Those are my only two girls that are in another sport right now. But it's going to be really tough on us, but I'm just glad that they're still being active, which makes me feel a little better about it. So,
and you know, that's talk with Dominique Byatt here, the Litchfield girls soccer coach. And that is the one unfortunate thing about this. I mean, the IHSA did a great job to get all the sports the opportunity to play this year. But with this much crossover, kids have to make tough choices, and you hate to see a kid have to make a choice, but that's the boat we're in.
It is. It definitely is. And I know Becky was like, can I not practice even on a Saturday? I said, no. I'm like, they're not letting you. You can't. You know, you are committed to the sport that you're in. Mm-hmm. And I'm usually very strict. And I told the girls this year, I said, I understand. We just have to go with the flow. We have to do what we can and get things done as we can. And I told Becky, I said, I'm not mad. It is disappointing, but it's not. We'll be fine. I said, you're an athlete. You'll pop right back into it. You know, I believe in her and I trust her. So she's got this.
And she is an athlete, man. My goodness. She is just, it doesn't matter what sport she's playing. She just always pops as just the super athletic.
I know. And Tim, you know, it's funny. I think I told you this the last time we chatted a couple years ago, which is so weird too. She never played soccer her entire life. She came in her freshman year. I didn't know what to do with her. I'm like, okay, you're athletic. You play basketball. And we were a week into soccer. And I said, Becky, go put some goalie gloves on. And the rest is history. So, and now she's going to play for college. So, yeah, it's amazing. She's just a true athlete. So,
talk to me about your non-keepers, I guess, and kind of what you hope to get out of this season.
So the good thing is I have awesome freshmen that I ref soccer. I've been reffing for 11 years now, and I am so lucky that I get to watch these girls grow up pretty much, and then they all hit me when they're getting in high school, and I know how they are. I know what they need to work on, and my group of freshmen, they're going to be playing varsity. I've got a good handful that will find themselves getting that varsity time in our short season this year. And then I've got, you know, my sophomores. I feel so bad for the sophomores because it's like they're freshmen again, because they didn't get a chance to prove what they wanted to last year. And I've got a great group of them girls too. I've honestly got so much talent to work with outside of it, outside of my, you know, goalkeeper Becky, but I have so much talent that I'm trying to figure out, okay, who is the best fit for these positions? Now my seniors, I already know where they're all going. You know, it's one of those things where you just, okay, you're still in your spot. Carly Cruz, she's in the center. She is going to be leading the season with flying colors. I've got Jordan Ramey as my sweeper. I trust her with everything. You know, she is just such a good defender, and she makes me super proud from where she started to where she is now. And it's just, it's a blessing to have these girls, and it's always sad to see them go. But luckily, that, you know, a lot of my seniors, I've got Maddie Diamond up top. She's still my center forward. Her footwork is just amazing now, and she has been working on her shooting, and I've just noticed in practice, big difference. It's crazy what 4 years does to you. You know, you start as a freshman, and your coach is trying to help you be better, and you're thinking, you know, what can I do to make these freshmen now be what my seniors are now? Mm-hmm. So I'm super excited with that. I've got such a good group of seniors that are role models for the freshmen and sophomores. And then my juniors, you know, Audrey Fisher, she's a junior. I've got her. She's a good defender. You know, and there's a lot of girls that are going to be fighting for their spots. I know I've got my senior, Allison Marburger. She has just shown me so much. This just in our week one of practice, I told her, I said, Allison, I see such a difference in you. I said, you've been working hard. I'm like, you know, you're probably going to find yourself back here in a starting position this year. So that it just makes you feel good as a coach, seeing these girls go from a freshman to a senior and the difference. And you wish you could have them forever, but you can't. So,
and I mean, that's what it's all about at the high school level, is seeing the growth from freshman to senior. And I'm curious, you mentioned about reffing for 8 years. I always like the coaches who also are officials, because it just provides a different layer. Is there ever a moment where Coach Dominique starts to get on an official and it's like, wait a minute, referee Dominique wouldn't like that?
Oh, that is so funny you say that. So I have a lot more respect for the referees. I do. But when I see a referee make a call that just, I'm like, what? You know, I have to stop myself. And God love him, my assistant coach, Chris Bates, he's the one that gets on it. And I'm like, I've got to calm him down. I'm like, Chris, stop. I don't want you to do something you shouldn't be doing. But, you know, it's so funny that you say that too, because I have so much respect for these refs. And I've gotten to know them over the years, you know, the ones that have, you know, they've been out there forever doing it. And some of them ref me. And that which is crazy. I've been out of high school now for 10 years. So, and being so close in age, well, not anymore. I'm getting older now, but, you know, being closer in age to these girls, I can relate to them more. You know, my brother, JD, he's a senior at Carnival High School this year, and Michael last year. And I get these kids, you know, I'm able to witness how these kids are these days, you know, and it's just nice to see it. And I relate to them a lot more, you know, being a little younger in my position. So it is helpful. So yeah, reffing, I love reffing. I love that I can see our future athletes, and it's just awesome. I get that opportunity. So
Dominique, before we let you go here, how many games do you have on the schedule this spring?
We have 11, and I'm super excited for all of them, because they're all conference, most of them.
Okay.
I've got a couple we've thrown in there. But, you know, I look and I've been thinking to myself, we are all in the same boat. It's kind of scary. We didn't have last season. We were 3 weeks in, and I got a phone call on a Friday, and I started crying. And I look back now, and I'm like, man, you know, this really stinks. Like, we didn't have a season last year. I only get not even a month to train, and we're all in the same boat. And I look at our conference, and you can't be mad about it. It's just, it is what it is, and we just have to deal with it and make the best of it.
That's exactly right. Dominique Byatt, the Litchfield girls soccer coach, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, and despite what your kids may think, I hope you don't have to play too many games in the rain.
Me too. Thank you, Tim. I appreciate it. I'm so glad you had me today.
All right. Thank you very much. Dominique Byatts, the Litchfield girls soccer coach. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we're going to catch up with Gillespie football coach Jacob Bilbrook. The Miners had a big night in Greenville last night. Back with Coach Bilbrook when Sports Saturday continues. Reinisch, little option pass, touchdown, right on the money to Jake Carter. And that is a big-time answer back for the Gillespie Miners. The third and sixth snap. Reinisch going to keep it himself. He bounces outside. He has the first down and more. He's loose at the 30. Into the Seamers of Criminal Red Zone. Goodbye, Gillespie. Touchdown, Zach Reinisch on the quarterback keeper. Got loose, and he finds pay dirt. Woo, Reinisch. Will hand it off. No, he fakes the handoff, throws out in the flat to Carter. He puts his foot in the ground, makes a man miss. He's got a first down and more. Jake Carter at the Comet 40. At the 30, it's a foot race at the 20. Little stiff arm, Jake Carter. Goodbye. Minor touchdown. Here's Schaufelberger. Throws dangerous. It's intercepted by Chase Helvey. He's at the 20, the 10, the 5. Goodbye. Go ahead. Pick 6. Chase Helvey, thank you very much. Woo. Little option pass. They throw on the flat. Carter makes the catch. He has the first down. Cuts back inside. Still on his feet. Jake Carter rumbling and stumbling. He is loose at the 30, the 20, the 10, the 5. It's a touchdown for the Gillespie Miners. What a piece of running by Jake Carter after the catch. That was nothing short of sensational. Reinisch on the keeper, getting surged ahead into the end zone for the touchdown. It's now 42 unanswered points for the Gillespie Miners. Haven't beat Greenville since 2005. Not anymore. They beat them last night 42-28. 42 unanswered points for Gillespie. And on the phone right now, Miner head coach Jacob Bilbrook. And coach, that is one of the great team wins I have seen in a long, long time.
Yeah, it was awesome for us. You know, I think it's a real testament to our kids. You know, never giving up and, you know, believing in themselves and, going out and making it happen and, you know, really stepping up and, coming out and playing a great second half.
There were so many big plays in that game. It's hard to pinpoint one, but when you guys were down 22-0 with 9 minutes to go in the first half, it wasn't looking too great, but you came on that next drive with a quick touchdown, and that seemed to get you guys settled into the ball game a little bit.
Yeah, it did. You know, we were having some issues early, getting the running game established, couldn't really get in the rhythm, you know, and that happens sometimes when you run our offense, and, you know, that's just something that we deal with, and, you know, like I said, I was proud of the kids because they never hung their head and they knew, you know, okay, you know, we just got to go, you know, now we're digging ourselves a little bit of a hole here, but, you know, we're not out of it. We know we got good playmakers on both sides of the ball and, yeah, a couple of big plays here and there, you know, and we were right back in it and it was a totally different ball game.
And your defense, I haven't seen a high school team that comes to rip the ball out like your minor squad does in quite some time. That was like watching a college or a pro defense. First guy stop him, second, third guy coming to rip it away.
Yeah, and, you know, like I said, that's just a test. I can't say it enough. I'm just so proud of these guys. But it is a real testament to our kids of, you know, taking the coaching every week. And, you know, they watch football. They love football. You know, they understand football. And, you know, when you got 11 guys flying to the ball, good things happen. And, you know, Coach Aaron puts together a good defensive game plan every week and these guys execute it. So it's getting overset at this point, but just really proud of the kids and, you know, really proud of the effort last night.
And I mean, when you 42 unanswered points, Jacob, that is hard to imagine. 42 unanswered.
Yeah, you know, if you would have told me the final score, I wouldn't have said that I don't believe you. I wouldn't have said that I couldn't have believed how we got them.
Right.
I think is how it all happened. You know, like I said, we felt pretty confident about the running game going into the game, and you know, it didn't happen for us that way. But you know, being able to score 42 unanswered and settling in really on the defensive side of the ball and making things happen. That's kind of the way we draw it up on the defensive side. I mean, we want to run the ball and play good defense, and you know, we like those low scoring games, but you know, we'll take 42 unanswered to any day of the week.
And you know, if I didn't know any better, if I had never seen Gillespie play, I'd think, man, they are an elite passing team. That's what they do.
Yeah, we were kind of getting a chuckle out of that last night. Just the passing stats that we had. I thought our quarterback Zach Reinisch, I thought he played way over the game. He's getting better every week. You know, he made a couple of mistakes here and there, which is expected. He's a first year varsity starter, but he's just a really good playmaker, and I can't say enough good things about Jake Carter on both sides of the ball.
Well, you take me right into my next point, Jake Carter. I'll be honest, he's a lot faster and quicker than I thought. Whoa.
Yeah, well, that is completely on him, because he spends so much time working out the right way, working, you know, training his body to do big things, and he's a big track guy. He added a lot of muscle for throwing the discus around, and the speed kind of came with it. He prepares the right way. He's a very good leader for us, on and off the field, and I'm just thrilled to death with the night that he had, because he deserves it.
You know, it's funny. Great offensive night, but you got the lead on a pick six. What a fun, huge play that was from Chase Helvey.
Yeah, I mean, he jumped her out, and they were chewing us up a little bit in the first half with some big pass plays. We had some coverage mistakes, and the kids never really hung their head. We kind of stuck with the game plan, and we felt confident that we could get it figured out. And, the kids answered the bell. And, Helvey being a sophomore, he had some sophomore mistakes, early. But he took the advice, he took the coaching, and, he corrected himself. And, that's that big play that he got, that was a good grid read on the ball. He jumped it and took it to the house. That fired us up pretty quick.
And, it's a shame that this isn't a full year, that there's no playoffs, because, Jacob, you guys look to me like a playoff team.
Yeah, that's obviously our goal. We haven't been in a while, and, I feel bad for the kids in that regard. I think I probably make more of a bigger deal of it than it is to the kids, because they're just happy to be playing. I'm happy to be playing too. I told them before the game last night, I said, man, I'm loving every minute of it. We've had ups, we've had downs this season, but, I really enjoy this group of kids, and, I don't understand everything that they're going through, because I've never had to go through this, but, I feel for them, and, not being in the playoffs, not being that reward for the season, the type of season that they're having, but they're just happy to be playing, and I'm just happy for them to be able to get to play and show it out on the field.
Absolutely. Jacob, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning. That was a fantastic game last night. Enjoyed it very much, and thanks for a few minutes of your time this morning.
Thanks a lot for the coverage, guys. As always, appreciate it.
That's Jacob Bilbrook, the head coach of the Gillespie Miners. You have 42 unanswered points in a high school football game. You don't see that very often, to go from down 22-0 to up 42-22.
That'll do.
And it happened fast.
Yeah, that'll work.
And forgot to mention this with Jacob, but Gillespie got stuffed on the goal line at the end of the first half. They were down 22-14, first and goal at the 5, did not score. So you're thinking, boy, there's a momentum switch right there going into the locker room. Nope. Gillespie got the ball first in the third quarter, right down the field for a touchdown. And once that happened, they were off to the races. And quite frankly, there wasn't anything Greenville could do about it.
Well, and that's where the good coaching comes into play, because it's easy for the guys on the field to get down and going in the locker room just be defeated, because you had your chance right there. But it's on the coach to remind them that, hey, there's a lot of game left to play, and the momentum still on their side.
You can just You can feel the passion oozing from Jacob Bilbrook. Like, it's real easy to understand why his kids play so hard.
Yeah. It really is a shame that there's no postseason this spring, because you get teams like Gillespie and Southwestern who are having fantastic seasons so far, real shots at the postseason.
Gillespie's a 3-overtime loss away from being 3-1.
It's true. Yeah. What was last year they were in the postseason? Was that the...
I had it last night, 13 maybe?
That was the year they went quarters. Yeah, so, gosh, it's been a while. And then Southwestern, obviously, I think 09? I don't think they've had anything since then. But, yeah, both teams playing well. A lot of teams playing well in the South Central Conference. If there would have been a postseason, a lot of chance to snap some droughts. But hopefully they can carry that into the fall.
That's right. So we'll have our broadcast from last night, Gillespie Greenville, Carlinville Southwestern, both available in podcast for you at WSMIRadio.com. Cardinal baseball for you today, 12:20 on WSMI AM 1540, FM 106.9 and 92.9. And David, I guess that Nolan Arenado, he's good at baseball.
That kid's going to do well.
He might have a future in the game. I don't know.
I think he'll stick.
I think he'll stick. And he had really an Albert type of moment there in that home opener. That's where Albert, you can't say he always came through. It just seemed like he always came through. But when the moment was the biggest, Albert rose to the occasion. And in his Busch Stadium debut as a Cardinal, Nolan Arenado did just that.
With everything that went on in that game, that's probably going to go down as one of the best home openers of all time. Because it was obviously a home opener in itself. You had the return of the fans who hadn't been to a baseball game in 2 years, basically. Nolan Arenado's first home game as a Cardinal. And you were getting thoroughly dominated for the better part of 6 or 7 innings by Corbin Burnes. So to have Arenado win it when he did, nothing comes to mind as a better home opener that they've ever had, just off the top of my head. Now, that's not to say they haven't had one, but nothing comes to mind.
Well, when you factor in the COVID stuff and fans being back, I think that really does probably elevate it to a different, it's just in a category by itself.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it certainly is. So hopefully they continue it going. They've won, what, four straight, I think?
Won four straight, yeah.
So,
they had no business sweeping that series in Miami. The fact they found a way to win those first two games, that kind of speaks to the grittiness of this club. And that might just be how the season goes, because when the lineup gets past Arenado, there's not a lot of consistency there. When the rotation gets past Waino and Flaherty, there's not a lot of innings there. So we'll see how they do over the course of the 6 months.
And honestly, Wainwright hasn't pitched bad this season. I mean, yeah, he only went 2 1/3 or whatever he went in his first start, but most of those hits he gave up, lazy ground balls that didn't leave the infield.
Dribblers.
Yeah.
He's 39 years old.
Yeah.
Just keeps going.
He's doing well.
Just keeps going. Oh, yeah. 12:20 today with the pregame, AM 1540, FM 106.9, and 92.9 Cards and Brewers. Hey, thank you very much to Don Borgini, Pat Keith, Dominique Byatt, and Jacob Bilbrook for joining us here this morning on Sports Saturday. For David Jenkins, I am Tim Mize. This is WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carbonville, and Greenville. Have a great weekend, everybody.